This is Matt Rogers from Los Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Los Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen, it's gift season.
Ugh, stressing me out. Why are the people I love so hard to shop for?
Probably because they only make boring gift guides that are totally uninspired. Except for the guide we made.
In partnership with Marshalls, where premium gifts meet incredible value.
It's giving gifts! With categories like best gifts for the mom whose idea of a sensible walking shoe is a stiletto.
Or best gifts for me that were so thoughtful I really shouldn't have.
Check out the guide on Marshalls.com.
And gift the good stuff at Marshalls.
When the holidays start to feel a bit repetitive, reach for a Sprite Winter Spice Cranberry and put your twist on tradition. A bold cranberry and winter spice flavors fusion, Sprite Winter Spice Cranberry is a refreshing way to shake things up this sipping season, and only for a limited time. Sprite, obey your thirst.
Okay, a lot of the MAGA women receive gender-affirming care, such as lip fillers, breast augmentation, etc. Why do you think they are so against gender-affirming care for trans people?
You know you want
to
say it.
Okay, so I have this thing where, like, you know a MAGA woman when you see one.
1,000%.
They all have a look, right?
But
they, like, they lips be able to. Anyway, mm-hmm. That's a whole other issue. But yeah, it's, they don't even know. Because when that was brought up on the House floor, because there was a discussion about this on the House floor.
So I just feel like if you're Jasmine Crockett and you're talking about another woman's appearance, that's maybe something you shouldn't do. So let's do that, okay? Welcome back to the show, top of this third hour. So I'll just say it. I mean, you're standing there looking like a double-wide surprise next to a man that actually makes you look larger than he does in the middle. I don't even know how in the world you can reconcile that with your invectives towards women who simply vote Republican. I'm not even going to say anything about that weed that looks like you robbed a horse's ass and you have this, you know, stallion's tail that's like drooping down your back, or these shredded spider legs that you put on your eyelashes. Let's just stop. Don't talk about other women's appearances when you leave yourself wide open like that. Okay, so now that it's out of my system, I don't think that that's gender affirming. I think that women just don't want to look old. And there's nothing wrong with that. Everybody do what they got to do. Everybody always has an opinion. People dye their hair. You know, they do all kinds of stuff. They get tattoos. I mean, shut up. Good grief. But she doesn't need to. And she's standing next to a drag queen, like a 90-foot tall drag queen. I don't know. Maybe that's why they can't define what women are, because they don't even know what they look like no more. Yeah. Just saying. All right. So we did not get that out of the system. Speaking of people that, you know, standing next to you, would you let that guy pat you down, Kane, at the
that
TSA?
Drag queen we saw on screen just now?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Come over here and let me see if you could smuggle in any weapons.
No.
No? You know?
No.
Okay, the reason I bring this up is because there's a lawsuit challenging TSA's ban on transgender officers conducting pat-downs, okay? The Virginia, this is LA Times, Virginia Transportation's a security officer is accusing the U.S. Department of Homeland Security of sexual, S-E-C-K-S-H-U-L, sexual discrimination. And it's a policy that bars officers from performing security screening pat-downs if they're transgender. And it enacted the policy in February to comply with POTUS's EO about male sex and the female sex. And the internal documents explaining the policy changes, the Associated Press got one, and it said that two former TSA workers, including one current, two former, transgender officers will no longer engage in pat-down duties, which are conducted based on both the traveler and officer's biological sex. Transgender officers. See, now this is, well, I'm not even going to read all of it. You get the idea. This is when cosplay goes beyond. You have no right to force your self-perception on someone else. If you're a dude, I don't care if you think you're a woman. Your cosplay stops when it concerns you touching someone else. And to say that, well, I am a man, but I identify as a woman, so I'm going to touch all the ladies at the TSA security. You don't get to do that because now you're infringing upon their rights. That's the whole point. This is why I'm like, to accommodate this is madness, because this, there is a downstream effect. And this is what we're looking at. So they're filing suit. Our tax dollars are going to have to go fight this. They TSA used to assign work consistent with their gender identity, and then they rescinded that to comply. There is no way in hell that I would let a man pretending to be a woman pat me down. That's sexual assault. It's sexual assault. I don't even like these stupid, barbaric security practices that our government came up with anyway. Unwanted touching. I don't give a rat's backside if you're a TSA agent or not. I think all of that stuff, if it is, I mean, you're forced into consent. You don't get a choice. And so it was a transgender officer at Dulles. And the guy says that he was not allowed to use the TSA facility restrooms that align with his gender identity. I'm not saying her because that's anti-science. And he's mad, he says, solely because he's transgender, TSA now prohibits the plaintiff from conducting core functions of his job, impeding his advancement to higher level positions. That's your choice. You wanted to play pretend at the workplace and pretend that you didn't have a male copulatory organ. This goes along with it. That is your choice. That's the choice you made. You don't get to override other people's choices. You don't get to force yourself on other individuals just because you think that your decision to identify as a woman is greater than the uncomfortability that a real woman would face at having to be pat down by you. And so now they're having a legal battle over this. You know, the problem is if we get a Democrat in the White House after Trump, this is going to be reversed and we'll have dudes patting down women again. It's crazy. The other one apparently was at Harry Reid International Airport in Vegas. And the guy, the other guy's at Dulles. This one is not involved in the, so it's like two separate cases. So this case in Vegas is not involved in the Virginia case. This chick wanted to be a male and transitioned, I don't know, and wanted to pat down men. And then she said, because she wants to be a man, she said, it made me feel inadequate at my job, not because I can't physically do it, because they put that on me. Now, you put it on yourself. This isn't a real scientific thing. It's a mental illness. And you put it on, you're chose to bring this into the workplace. You don't get to assert your reality over someone else's. You don't get to make your perception someone else's reality. It's predatory. That's a predatory thing. That's predatory behavior. Homeland Security pushed back, saying that it wasn't discriminatory. And Homeland Security spokesperson said, does the AP want female travelers to be subjected to pat downs by male officers? Hell no. Absolutely not. And here's the thing. Transgender officers make up such a teeny tiny percentage of TSA. This new policy is not going to cause any delays. To the contrary. It does not at all whatsoever inhibit the operation of airport security. And that came from the security expert at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, Professor Sheldon Jacobson. He literally helped design PreCheck. So he's like, no, this doesn't affect it at all. And I mean, if you're dedicated to your job, then don't make things that are outside of your job a consequential issue within your job. Would you want to be pat down by a woman who wants to be a man, King?
No. No, I don't think. I mean, I hate being patted down no matter what.
Correct.
I think that's why we go through the damn machine, so we don't have to be patted down.
There for a while, I wasn't even given the option of that. They were pulling me out of the line like all the time. Every time I went through Sky Harbor, I got pulled out of the line. And then one time they detained me for 2 hours because they said they wanted, I think it was because one of the agents actually hated me. And my husband, excuse me, when we were going through, was like, I think you're going to have a problem.
I remember that. Actually.
Yeah, you remember that because I almost missed my flight.
Yeah.
They had already did last call for us to board. And we had to run. I had to run without my shoes to make it. That was at Phoenix Sky Harbor Airport. And that happened in 2014. And I had to race without my shoes on just to get to my gate. They held me for approximately 2 hours and 12 minutes. And they did a swab and they're like, oh, it came back inconclusive for like explosive. I'm like, you know how many times, this is such so stupid, the false positives on this. They did two pat downs. And then they tried to take me to a private room. And I was like, you're going to do it right here. I am not going into a private room so you can infringe upon my freedoms and sexually assault me anymore. You're going to do it right here. It was crazy. And one of them actually suggested, why don't you, like, you know, because I had I was wearing button-up pants. And the woman was like, was like trying to get her hand. And she was like, maybe you should. I'm like, I'm not unbuttoning my pants so you can molest me. And at that point, I will get ignorant. It was the most ridiculous TSA experience. And they were so ungodly rude. It like scarred me. And so I don't go to Phoenix. I will not fly through that airport. I have not been back. I will not go through that airport. And now DFW, their people are great. But I think this was one or two agents that had it out for me because they were looking at me and my husband was like, I think you're going to have a problem. And I go, what do you mean? Because we were putting our stuff on the thing and he goes, they're pointing you out. And it was, and they were really, they were like, you need to come over here, ma'am. And it was just very, they were incredibly rude.
That was the TSA under the Obama administration. And it was. I actually have a general rule of just, I don't want mentally ill people patting me down.
Yeah.
That's just, it's not about sex.
I don't think that if you're mentally ill, you should be working in a security job.
Right.
No, if you have a mental illness, you should not be working in a security job. This is, if that makes you unhappy, tough. There are a lot of things that I don't like, but this is the reality in which we live. And there are certain jobs that require certain levels of mental altogetherness. I don't know how to put it. Now, I will say, by the way, not every TSA agent is like that. There were some, I think DFW has some of the best ones. And the American at St. Louis International are great. They're so great. There's some really nice TSA folks out there. The two that were at Phoenix Sky Harbor were really bad, but there's some really nice ones out there. Really nice ones. That are actually like really helpful with like our parents when they fly, because our parents have some mobility issues and they're just so sweet with them. But long story short, you should be able, if you're a man or a woman and you're going through TSA, you should be able to say, I really don't want to be patted down by a member of the opposite sex. That's really uncomfortable for me. And you should have that right to say that. That right, why is that right viewed by transgender activists as being second class compared to their rights? We got a lot more on the way as we roll towards headlines and our partners that help bring you the program. It's the folks over at Superbeats, the Turmeric Chews. If you haven't checked it out, you should. In fact, you can get $5 off right now by going to Sam's Club. Turmeric, it can be kind of difficult for the body to utilize effectively. It's known for its antioxidant properties, but most forms are a little difficult to absorb. But this is where the Superbeats folks have changed it with the turmeric chews to support a healthy inflammatory response. They use a clinically studied turmeric curcumin complex. And so the complex helps to solve the issue of utilization by making it into a highly absorbable form. And so it tastes great. It's like one orangey is the word, citrus flavored chew. And it's a really great way to help boost your body's ability to support healthy response to inflammation, right? And it's a clinically studied turmeric curcumin complex, and it offers significantly higher absorption than the other conventional turmeric extracts, the basic ones. So your body actually gets more from every serving. And right now is the perfect time to try it. They have an exclusive deal at Sam's Club, and you can get $5 off turmeric chews. But that offer ends December 29th. So it's the high absorption formula, clinically studied turmeric chews. Head to Sam's Club today and grab your turmeric chews while the savings last.
Fed Chair Jay Powell seems like he's straight out of Reservoir Dogs, stuck in the middle. With inflation on one side and unemployment on the other, Jay Powell's acting clueless. With a dual mandate coming in from both sides, there's not much else he can do.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen, it's gift season.
Ugh, stressing me out. Why are the people I love so hard to shop for?
Probably because they only make boring gift guides that are totally uninspired. Except for the guide we made.
In partnership with Marshalls, where premium gifts meet incredible value.
It's giving gifts! With categories like best gifts for the mom whose idea of a sensible walking shoe is a stiletto.
Or best gifts for me that were so thoughtful I really shouldn't have.
Check out the guide on Marshalls.com.
And gift the good stuff at Marshalls.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Okay, this is a banger of a headline. A fake captain allegedly flew hundreds of plane passengers using forged credentials. Oh my gosh. A co-pilot, he forged certificates to qualify himself as a captain for Lithuanian airline and helmed flights carrying hundreds of passengers throughout Europe. They didn't disclose his identity. He was there for an unspecified period of time, and then he'd only literally ever worked as like a co-pilot with like some Indonesian line. This is crazy. So they ended up, how does that guy get past your hiring protocol? That's insane. Oh my gosh. Imagine if you found out that you had been flown previously by a fake airline captain. Clown car of crime. 9 suspects emerged from literally a clown car of crime to rob a vape shop. Surveillance footage captured the super surreal moment when 9 people climbed out of a little bitty car to rob a Virginia vape shop. The footage was played on Fox 5 DC, and it was a silver 4-door sedan. It backed into a spot in front of the Accolades Vape and Tobacco Shop, and then 5 people got out of the 2 back seats alone. The trunk popped open. 2 more suspects climbed out. 2 suspects in the driver's seat and the front passenger seat. So 9. 2 times the amount that the little car was.
They don't even have room for the loot.
I know. They stole smoking accessories, clothing, designer sneakers. Why are there designer sneakers at a vape shop? I don't know. But anyway, they made off with $13,000 worth of merchandise, Pokemon cards, and the entire cash register from the store. They're still at large, apparently. And they're also apparently connected to other robberies in the area. I don't even know. This is all so crazy. That's insane. Police are turning to AI to handle non-emergency calls. This is going to be fine. Yeah, I'm sure it's going to be great. It's a Canadian startup. I mean, they kill people over there. They have euthanasia. You know what I'm saying? It's called Sarah for Smart Answering Road Assistant. And it's AI. And they said it's crazy how many calls police get that have nothing to do with active police work. I just feel like this is not... Kane, this is going to go horrifically. Mark my words. We're going to have a headline. Yeah. Remember this story because we're going to have a headline about this just down the road. I'm just saying. Oh gosh, it's the 55-year anniversary of blowing up a whale with dynamite. Has it already been 55 years?
Yeah.
Should a whale ever wash ashore again? You all remember this glorious experiment in Oregon. It's been 55 years. Do we have audio video of this? They obliterated a beached whale. It's in the story. Paul Lindman reported for Channel 2 KATU. A 45-foot-long sperm whale arrived on the beach on November 9th and they blew it up. They ended up blowing it up a few days later. And then they didn't realize that all the blubber would rain down on everything and everyone. They blew up this whale and blubber rained down. They said basically like a half a ton of blubber. They thought that it was so dead that it would just be disintegrated, and it wasn't. And it was filmed and all hell broke loose. There was screaming. It damaged cars. It broke windshields. It knocked people out. Giant fat pieces of like flaming hot blubber raining down. Stinky flaming hot blubber. Not like Cheetos. Blew down. This is actually, I think it's like one of the funniest moments in American history. God bless America. I love that they did this. And they were like, well, I'll be damned. We didn't know it was going to come down. Oh, we'll come back to this. Stick with us. The folks who helped make the program possible, it's the people over at Ammo Squared. Ammo Squared is going to make sure that you don't have to worry about running out of whatever caliber you want. I mean, you know, everybody remembers the panic buying of several years ago. Always stay ready with Ammo Squared. It's America's ammunition reserve. It's a worry-free solution to collect ammo for the future. Avoid getting caught empty-handed. You can choose from over 70 calibers, set your monthly budget, and then Ammo Squared will automatically curate and grow your ammo reserve. It's a set it and forget it thing. Keeps on giving all year long. Gift keeps on giving, Clark. Ammo stays stored in a secure, climate-controlled facility until you want it shipped. There's no minimums, no hidden fees, and you get free shipping on orders over $250. It's trusted by tons of people all over the U.S. Great idea as well. Visit AmmoSquare.com. Set up an ongoing ammo supply. Don't run out when it counts. Stock up before training and after to stay ready. That's AmmoSquare.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
So when the holidays start to feel a bit repetitive, reach for a Sprite Winter Spice Cranberry and put your twist on tradition. It's a refreshing way to shake things up this sipping season and only for a limited time. Sprite, obey your thirst.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen, it's gift season.
Ugh, stressing me out. Why are the people I love so hard to shop for?
Probably because they only make boring gift guides that are totally uninspired. Except for the guide we made.
In partnership with Marshalls, where premium gifts meet incredible value.
It's giving gifts! With categories like best gifts for the mom whose idea of a sensible walking shoe is a stiletto.
Or best gifts for me that were so thoughtful I really shouldn't have.
Check out the guide on Marshalls.com.
And gift the good stuff at Marshalls.
One of the things, I've never seen this to this extent in the wild, but I have seen it before, and it relates to people who are on the far left that you're in public, right? You're in public, and you cannot bring yourself to act like a decent human being when faced with someone who thinks differently from you. So, case in point, this was, what flight was this on? This was a passenger on a plane, and they lost their minds because someone was on the plane. They had a congressman on the plane, and this person could not abide. They could not abide the fact that there were Republicans on the flight. So they started screaming about fascism, etc. And they ended up getting, this was from Sky Harbor to DCA. So this is Phoenix to DCA. The passenger was so unruly, they actually had to make a stop in Kansas City. Watch this. This is nuts.
Second one, we had a United one where she was on just not one move on for me.
So they're all sitting there. They're trying to get her out.
Yeah.
She's fighting with them the entire time.
Sorry, folks.
Yes.
We live in a fascist state.
She wouldn't shut up. She was harassing these lawmakers who were on the flight. Now, remember, the lawmakers had 36 hours to get back. This was them all getting on. That's why you had so many, you know, lawmakers on the same flight, because they were all trying to get back to D.C. because they were going to vote. And, I mean, how are you that? I can't tell you the number of times that I've gotten on a plane and I see lawmakers sitting on, sometimes lefties. But is it just because we're on the, like, what makes someone feel like they have to show their backside like that completely? And think about it like this. They had to divert to Kansas City during a time when you have cancellations and delays already, Kane. Mm-hmm. What I didn't find in the piece is whether or not they were actually able to take off, you know, going to Phoenix from D.C. That's a good 4-hour flight, right? So they had to stop in Kansas City. I'm curious as to whether or not they were able to, like, take off again. Did everybody have to deplane? Like, how did that work? I would have been livid. Imagine, like, if you had, that's insane. That's insane. I don't know. So this, it's a problem. It's a, these individuals, they don't know how to coexist with people that have a difference of opinion. I can't imagine living like that. You know, you got to see the humanity in people, which brings me to this soundbite. I loved this so much. I saw this last night. This is Sharon Osbourne. So she was sitting at a table with her son, Jack, who hunts, by the way, he's a hunter, and Kelly, her daughter. And I want you to contrast what you saw with the plane with what Sharon Osbourne's talking about. So Sharon Osbourne, as you know, Ozzy Osbourne passed away just a couple of months ago. And clearly they're still dealing with the grief of all of that. What do we want to play? The longer or the shorter one? Well, it's,
yeah,
let's play great. This. It's a couple of minutes, but it's worth it. And I want you guys to listen how she describes And it's almost like when she began talking about her interactions with Trump, because Trump had called Sharon and left a voicemail. And he was giving, expressing his condolences, and he was very gracious. And so she's addressing it. And in the beginning, it sounds like, not that she's afraid of anything, but it sounded like she was a little nervous as to how the digital economy is going to react to this, right? And then it's like, as she got a third of the way through, she's like, she didn't care. Nice is nice, good is good. And it was a very brief respite from the intense tribalization everywhere else. It's worth the listen. A little long, but it's worth the listen. Compare the lady on the plane to this.
I mean, should we play the voicemail?
Yeah.
Not saying who it's from. Everyone will know.
Hi, Sharon. It's Donald Trump, and I just wanted to wish you the best and the family of great. Ozzy was amazing. He was an amazing guy. I met him a few times, and I want to tell you, he was unique in every way and talented. So I just wanted to wish you the best, and it's a tough thing. I know how close you were, and whatever I can do, take care of yourself. Say hello to the family. Thanks. Bye.
Love him or hate him, he didn't have to call and leave a voicemail.
Listen, when it comes to politics, we know nobody comes out a winner. Whoever you like, there's
half
of people are going to go like this. And now it's more so than ever in history, is it, that people's choice of which party, which politician, you can't come out a winner. All I know is a man that I know, I worked with for a month. I spent 1 month with him and his wife, who was always gracious, elegant, just a delight to talk to, his wife.
Yeah.
And he was always, how are the children? How's Kelly? I'm so proud of Kelly and Jack for what they've done, and their manners are great. And he was just a great guy to talk to. And he has always treated me with respect. Listen, I'm not American. I can't vote. I don't want to vote. I don't vote for anyone. Mm-hmm. I vote for no one. Never have, never will. But the thing is, all I know is he's treated me with respect, your father with respect. He wanted nothing from us. Nothing. Yeah. Melania the same. Nothing. And they have been great. And for him to take his time to do that for us. And because, you know what? He doesn't live in a bubble. He knows what's going on in the streets. He knows what is going on. Mm. And I can't say that for our prime minister.
Ooh, that gives you a little insight right there. You know, Keir Starmer, the big lefty, she can't say that of their prime minister. I thought that was a real nice little touch there. But how refreshing is that? I watched that twice. That's the third time I've heard it. It is, and I wrote about this in my book, Grace Canceled. And the reason I'm talking about this now is because I see the right slipping into this a little bit. You have got to be able to see the humanity in other people if you ever hope to persuade those other people. What is this all for? It's all for persuading people to see your perspective, and for people who look at it from an evangelist perspective, it's about persuading people to come to Jesus, right? When you cannot see the humanity in someone, how are you ever going to be able to persuade them? Do you think that you're going to insult them into agreement? The moment it gets nasty is when that's your indication that individual has zero interest in real discussion. They have zero interest in real debate because it's not about that for them. It is either about putting a point on the board or destroying someone. When I had Kevin Roberts on the show, and we've had a lot, I mean, the Kevin Roberts interview was the one that went bonkers. We've had a lot of people. We had Randy Fine on the show, you know, and I pushed back against him pretty vociferously because it's not about being nasty and trying to flex. Like, I'm really trying to drill down into the issue and understand, because when you can understand, then you know how to craft a persuasive argument. So if we're not out there trying to persuade people, then what's the point, right? What is the point of any of it? Trying to flex? That's just stupid. That doesn't move the needle. In fact, it repels people. You should be judged by how many people you're attracting, not how many people you're repelling. One person that you can persuade is someone that you don't have to fight. Furthermore, it's an additional ideological soldier for your side. We have got to start properly looking at this in politics, tactically, intelligently. Otherwise, we're going to lose. And we are right there where we are about to have everything that we've been fighting for. Granted, we can do a lot of work in a lot of other areas. But as somebody who has been doing this since the Tea Party days, and I have watched as really legitimate, limited government constitutionalists have fought and have scraped the victories in the judiciary, were victories. Spike that football. You know, at least getting the tax cuts made permanent against some other Republicans that did not want to make that happen with the one big beautiful bill. That was a small victory, but it was a victory nonetheless. You have to realize that these victories aren't going to be measured by giant yardages. They're little incremental things, back and forth, back and forth. And how much ground can you hold? How much more ground can you gain? All of this is about persuading people, every bit of it. And we can't be repelling people. So the reason I bring this up, compare the lady on the plane with Sharon Osbourne. And Sharon Osbourne, doesn't it sound like she really came to all of this very organically? And how did she come to it organically? People were kind. She said things about gun control I don't agree with. She's never been nasty about it, ever. You should be able to have that debate with people. Kevin Roberts, it was very amicable, Kane, I thought. They were hard questions, and I give him credit because he knew that it was going to be like this. I mean, we were incredibly belligerent towards the end. And Kane's one of the nicest people ever. He's like 9 feet tall. He doesn't look like he is, but he's like one of the nicest people ever. And it was very out of character for him to be like that, but we wanted to make this conversation happen. And it was, and he knew it, and he still, and everybody was very polite and civil. I don't know why it can't be like that. You don't always have to scream at somebody. But it sounded like she came to that very organically. And because they were kind. It doesn't hurt to be nice about it. It's not a weakness. Gosh, it is not a weakness. Do you guys know how hard it is? You guys know how hard it is to be nice when you don't want to be nice. It is hard. For crying out, it's always been hard. For crying out loud, Jonah jumped in a whale. Nobody, it's hard to be nice. This is where Patrick Swayze comes in with, oh, you guys knew I was bringing it here. The cinematic masterpiece, Kane, that is Roadhouse, probably, you know, it should have won Oscars. Maybe a Nobel Prize for whatever it could be awarded a Nobel Prize for. Everything about that movie is just pure perfection, including the advice of be nice until it's time to not be nice. And it's very obvious when righteous indignation is a response and a legitimate one. Like one of the things we're going to be talking about here coming up. Let's talk about nice. The woke Reich, and I know some of you are tired of hearing about it, but I want you to realize that it's not beating a drum for the sake of beating a drum. It's discussing it to try to figure out how to resolve it. Genuinely. I kind of want to make enemies of people. Some of these people are my friends. I've celebrated book launches with them. I've been to their events. I've had dinner with them. A lot of these people I know. And I get very concerned when I see them say things, especially when it starts getting into biblical, the biblical realm, that are simply untrue. our partners that help bring you the program. It's the folks over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service that is out there. Look, I'm just going to tell you, you can make the switch today and have your money work for you, or you can continue putting fat bills of cash in the pockets of DEI, gun control, abortion, all of that stuff. Because if you haven't switched, I'm telling you, your phone company, the one you're using right now, your cell phone service, that's what they're supporting. You're not worrying about that with Patriot Mobile because they're like-minded, number one. Number two, they have better service. Number three, they're more affordable. They have plans tailored for families and businesses of all sizes. And they also offer the best coverage. I have used them all around the world. I've never had an issue. You can also, by the way, if you still have an existing contract or over on your phone, they have a contract buyout program they can help you with as well. Right now, you can get a free Samsung AG16 with code Dana. Now, this offer is for a limited time, so you want to act quickly on that. Get a free smartphone. But it's easy to switch. Their 100% U.S.-based team can get you activated in minutes. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Dana. Don't wait. Make sure you act now and get that free Samsung. 972-PATRIOT, promo code Dana.
When the holidays start to feel a bit repetitive, reach for a Sprite Winter Spice Cranberry and put your twist on tradition. It's a refreshing way to shake things up this sipping season, and only for a limited time. Sprite, obey your thirst.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen, it's gift season.
Ugh, stressing me out. Why are the people I love so hard to shop for?
Probably because they only make boring gift guides that are totally uninspired. Except for the guide we made.
In partnership with Marshalls, where premium gifts meet incredible value.
It's giving gifts! With categories like best gifts for the mom whose idea of a sensible walking shoe is a stiletto.
Or best gifts for me that were so thoughtful I really shouldn't have.
Check out the guide on marshalls.com.
And gift the good stuff at Marshalls.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Everybody, this is the last one.
Any final words for the tank?
God bless America.
Yeah, God bless America. And we're going to save the taxpayer $56 million. Which is good. All right. I'm going to do a countdown on this one. This is the last one. 3, 2, 1.
That's it. It's the last penny ever made now, ever minted. 232 years, the penny. Cost 3 cents to make 1 cent, so it didn't make any sense at all, actually. When's the last time you used a penny?
Besides the take a penny, leave a penny thing at the gas station?
I think I have, like, when I was a kid. But
I think that was the last time for me.
I don't even know if I have a penny.
What, really?
Yeah. Are they going to, like, blow up in value now, you think?
Well, only the ones that were actually made of copper back in the day.
Yeah, didn't that...
Pre-1941?
Yeah, but didn't the copper quotient, however, the percentage of copper in each penny, didn't that decrease over time?
Yeah, but I don't know what that rate was, but I know that there isn't a bit of copper in them today. So they're not even a precious metal anymore. And they're still costing 3 cents plus to make per.
How is it 3 cents? I could probably make it cheaper than that if you wanted to give me the contract. That's like $50 million they said to do that. That's insane. I'm fine with that. I really don't care.
It was like $54 million to make about $16 million worth of pennies.
The only cool thing about coins are like the old lady coin purses that like my grandma used to carry. You know, she'd have her big giant wallet with a million things in it. But then she had like this old lady embroidered, you know, little coin purse that looked like it came from the early 1900s. And I always thought that was so cool. And she would put her coins in there. And then I always thought that was neat. But it's like, absent that, what's the purpose?
Well, I collect coins, and I do have some Indian head pennies in addition to some of the wheat pennies that they had back in the day. So I think that's the value there.
Lorraine says steel pennies from World War II are worth 10 cents. That's crazy. We have a lot more on the way, including, would you go back in time and kill baby Hitler? I can't believe we're talking about this, but there it is. Stick with us.
When the holidays start to feel a bit repetitive, reach for a Sprite Winter Spice Cranberry. And put your twist on tradition. It's a refreshing way to shake things up this sipping season, and only for a limited time. Sprite, Obey your thirst.
This is Matt Rogers from Los Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Los Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen, it's gift season.
Ugh, stressing me out. Why are the people I love so hard to shop for?
Probably because they only make boring gift guides that are totally uninspired. Except for the guide we made.
In partnership with Marshalls, where premium gifts meet incredible value.
It's giving gifts! With categories like best gifts for the mom whose idea of a sensible walking shoe is a stiletto.
Or best gifts for me that were so thoughtful I really shouldn't have.
Check out the guide on Marshalls.com.
And gift the good stuff at Marshalls.
Welcome to the program. Dana Lash with you. We're at the top of the second hour. The chat is at Rumble. And of course, you can watch the simulcast of the program on channel 347 DirecTV. So I saw perhaps like one of the most embarrassingly ignorant reports that I've ever seen. And we're going to play it for you in a moment. Let me set the people who listen terrestrially on radio, you're going to be able to hear the report. The people who are watching the simulcast, you'll be able to see it, but we can't play the audio because they idiotically decided to put music in it, and we will get penalized if we play it. And they're always itching for a way to take our show off of YouTube. So we can't. So you get to watch the B-roll, and that's the way it is. So let me set it up. The story has to do with they're trying to make it a snap issue, you know, with the shutdown, et cetera, et cetera. So the story has to do with this, it's so bad. Bison hunting, particularly. I'm pulling this up right now. So the bad reporting of this, it has to do with bison hunting. And the Associated Press ran a story where they said tribes across the Great Plains are killing bison to feed people as the government shutdown interrupted SNAP payments, with Fort Peck and other tribes providing buffalo, trout, and moose to fill the gap. This is what I'm talking about. Listen to some of this. Listen to some of this.
On the Fort Peck Reservation, as the government shutdown interrupts food aid for millions, tribal members turn to a centuries-old source of survival, the buffalo. Ranch manager Robert Magnin harvests animals for distribution across the reservation.
We're going to go ahead and harvest three buffalo. The tribes are worried about how to feed the people, so they decided to bring down 30 animals to help feed the less fortunate.
He focuses on cows to manage the herd.
We're overpopulated. Full-grown cow, you'll bring about 400 pounds of meat.
Chairman Floyd Azure says the effort echoes historic community hunts.
Everybody did their part so that they could eat all winter long. We got the buffalo. Somebody needs them. We're going to help them out.
The meat is processed and stored for distribution.
You can tell it's like, I'm sorry, but it's like some chick who thinks that politics began the day she was born. I bet she was like, wow, I got a great story here. So let me clue you in, because this chick is apparently ignorant. This is what I'm talking about. These stupid reporters. This is dumb. I'd fire this girl. I'd be like, you brought this to me like this is some kind of big story. Are you a moron? Here's why I say that. First off, Fort Peck, the reservation, they do this every year. If you're not familiar with bison, they breed. Okay? They are destructive as all get out. If you have never gone on a bison hunt, if you don't understand wildlife management, that's what this reporter sounds like. It sounds like she doesn't understand any of the history or reality. You heard what that guy said. He just mentioned it briefly. Oh, it's overpopulated. So they do this every year. Fort Peck, they do this every year. Further, you can apply to get a tag, to go into the draw, to see if you get a tag, to go and harvest some bison. And if you want, I mean, it's not cheap. You're looking at what, $2,000 for like a 3-year-old bull. And you can only get certain ones, et cetera, et cetera. It's all about herd health. It's about wildlife management. They do this every year. They charge a lot of money for it. They make a lot of money on it. And they get meat and all kinds of stuff. And every year they do this. They will donate some. And every, I don't know, a safari, a reserve, anybody that doesn't do this. They donate a significant portion of the meat to like food pantries, things like that, or kitchens, things like that. That happens. So they're acting, the Associated Press was presenting this as though, oh, because of SNAP, they have to start doing this. They have to start actually hunting buffalo. That's the intimation from the reporter in this video. If they're going to white knight, they need to do a better job. It's a necessity. It is a necessity to annually manage bison populations. We know people that have a lot of land, for instance, out in West Texas. A friend of ours has a huge, huge reserve out in West Texas. And one of the adjacent ranches does not manage their wildlife very well. And their bison population is out of control. And the bison have stomped the fences. They've done a lot of damage, actually a lot of property damage. They tear down the fences of our friend's reserve, and there's always problems. So they came up with an agreement that our friend will, they'll have guided hunts, and they can go and help manage that bison population for that rancher. And that rancher's fine with it. They're like, yeah, that's great. I mean, because you get free wildlife management for it. And then the friend can, you know, and because it's on a reserve, because it's private property, there you can manage the wildlife how you see fit. So, to an extent. So, up here in Fort Peck, up there in Fort Peck, this is something that it's a necessity. Otherwise, the population gets out of control and it just wrecks the ecosystem. But it's $2,000 if you're going to get like a 2 to 3 year old bull. So that's the first thing. SNAP has nothing to do with this hunt. They do this every single year, but you got a white knight associated, you know, probably some Swifty getting out there making this video. Oh my gosh, can you believe that they're having to hunt for food? They always done that. And by the way, that's some of the healthiest meat you can eat. You know, if they were really going to white knight, that idiot reporter who thinks that politics began the day they were born would maybe talk about how Fort Peck is one of the reservations where Democrats have fought against allowing tribes to own their own land. They have to lease it from the government. You want to talk about 50-year mortgages? American Indians have been doing it forever. Leasing their land, their homes from the government. They don't own anything. They have to lease it from the government. There are some rare exceptions, but this is not at Fort Peck. So they don't get to actually own their own property. Now you ask yourself, what does that do? How does that affect creating generational wealth? Now, if they really wanted to white knight it, this dippy AP reporter might have written about that. But she didn't, because she's an idiot. Clearly some city chick who has never been out in the plains and is like, oh my gosh, they're hunting bison. So it's embarrassing. I watched that video and I thought, there's not enough cruel words that I could say to express the level of disgust I feel at seeing this stupid video. So I don't know. But if they really wanted a white knight, they'd talk about how Fort Peck, they don't even get to own their own land. That is one of the things with some of these reservations. And Democrats have always been in favor of that policy, by the way. They've been in favor of it. Elizabeth Warren, I mean, she's one of those who tried to trade on falsely being an American Indian, but said nothing about the setup that her party has instituted, the reality of land ownership on tribal land. Because the federal government holds it in a trust, so to speak, right? And so they manage the land for the tribes. Democrats always thought tribes were too stupid to be able to manage their own land. So they fought to own it and manage it and control all the mineral rights and everything else. And it can't be, you can't do anything with that property without the federal government being involved. Now, there are some private non-tribal lands within the boundaries of certain reservations, but this is a distinction that's not absolute ownership. And this is the reality at Fort Peck. So you would think if they really wanted to white knight it, don't talk about SNAP. Talk about how Democrats have fought the creation of generational wealth in American Indian lands since the inception of reservations, since they first marched them on the trail of genocide. But no, we can't talk about that. Just like you don't talk about how Democrats created the Klan. or how you don't talk about how Democrats were the ones that put Japanese citizens, American citizens from Japan that did not want to go back to Imperial Japan, in concentration camps in the United States. True. Democrats, have all, they love lists and they love camps. That has never changed. Speaking of which, let's show this video of Jack Schlossberg. This is a guy who's going to run for Jerry Nadler's seat. He is supremely disturbed, but also, I guess he likes Nazis. I don't know. He had this video. Why would you record? This was my thought when I saw this video. Why would you record yourself doing this, like giving a Nazi salute? What audio cut is this? 24. Go ahead and play this for the folks.
Yo, check this out. Yo, check this out. Yo, check this out.
Why would you do that? Why would anybody do that? Man, Nick Fuentes has to love him, right? We have enough Nazi twinks in this country. Good night. But he's running for Jerry Nadler's seat, that guy. Boy, are you excited about the possibility of him making laws that govern us, Kane?
No. Nobody's saying this. Happy with that. But I would assume that was him making fun of Elon Musk when he did it.
I'm not assuming anything.
But that's the only explanation I could come up with.
And Elon Musk was waving at people. Right. He was doing a full-on salute right there. But there's so many weird videos of him out there. I think he's a twink, dude. I really do. I think he is. I think that Jack Schlossberg, he just seems like a freak. And he always talks about women's appearances, which, gosh, just man alive, the irony. So just, that's the left for you. That's the left for you. We got a lot more on the way. Coming up, yesterday marked 10 years after the Bataclan terrorist attack in Paris. It's actually one of the worst mass casualty incidents, two of the worst mass casualty incidents ever involving firearms took place outside of the United States, one and two. We're going to discuss this because, wow, it's changed over there. And we're going to touch on that. Also, a women's hockey team features four male players. We're ladies.
When the holidays start to feel a bit repetitive, reach for a Sprite Winter Spice Cranberry and put your twist on tradition. It's a refreshing way to shake things up this sipping season and only for a limited time. Sprite, obey your thirst.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen, it's gift season.
Ugh, stressing me out. Why are the people I love so hard to shop for?
Probably because they only make boring gift guides that are totally uninspired. Except for the guide we made.
In partnership with Marshalls, where premium gifts meet incredible value.
It's giving gifts! With categories like best gifts for the mom whose idea of a sensible walking shoe is a stiletto.
Or best gifts for me that were so thoughtful I really shouldn't have.
Check out the guide on Marshalls.com.
And gift the good stuff at Marshalls.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I actually disagree with this. It says this is supposed to be a study where they say why your brain might learn best when it's fatigued. I don't think so. I don't think that you remember anything well when you're tired. They said that they studied rats. And they said that they respond differently to the same stimulus depending on the time of day. And then they say they conclude with don't use this to plan your study time yet. There you go. There you have it. It's completely worthless. Completely worthless study. Listening to music most days could guard against dementia, according to another study. Unless it's bad music. Studies have shown that people who listen to Green Day, their brains will rot out of their craniums and slide out of their ears. Isn't that insane? Right, Kane?
Oh, yeah. So insane.
You didn't even hear what I just said. You didn't even hear it. He was over there looking thoughtful, and I'm like, what are you doing? No, they said regularly listening to music is linked to a lower risk of developing dementia, according to a new study. Kane, I had said that the study also concluded that Green Day will make your brain rot and slide right out of your ears.
That's true.
It's very true.
We already see proof of that.
Oh, completely. That's right. The largest great white male great white shark ever recorded pinged off of the New Jersey coast. It's a shark's house. It's called Contender. Dang, what a name. It's like if your name is Contender and you're a shark, you can only eat people. That's what you do. Like if your name is the greatest to ever do it, like you better be the greatest to ever play football. That's all you can do, right? Oh my gosh. Kane, this shark is 13 feet long, 1,653 pounds. It's 32 years old. Juan, this shark is older than you. The shark is older than you, and it has a little over 1,000 pounds on you, man. Kane, you too. Wow, 32-year-old shark. That's crazy. It's been migrating up and down the eastern seaboard, going up into Canada. It'll go into the Gulf of St. Lawrence. It goes down to Florida. You know, now he's going back down, trekking back down the coast. So
when it's that big, everything's on the menu.
And for a ping to register, the dorsal fin has to break water. So that means the fin comes up, and that's how, oh, man. So he was pinged. He was hanging out at the Outer Banks in North Carolina from April to mid-June. He was really there quite a lot. That's crazy. Do you know how close to the water he gets? I'd like to know. Betty Boop turns bloodthirsty in a twisted new horror film with a gruesome scene. I don't like gruesome for gruesome's sake. It's just kind of lazy. But she's all these characters. She's entered public domain. Betty Boop is now part of public domain. So I love how the first thing that people do when a character enters public domain is let's make a horror film of it. So it was Winnie the Pooh, Popeye, this. It's funny. Mickey Mouse, well, Steamboat Willie, I should say. And Bagpipers claimed a world record with AC/DC's It's a Long Way to the Top. It's pretty cool. We got more on the way. Stick with us.
When the holidays start to feel a bit repetitive, reach for a Sprite Winter Spice Cranberry. And put your twist on tradition. A bold cranberry and winter spice flavors fusion, Sprite Winter Spice Cranberry is a refreshing way to shake things up this sipping season, and only for a limited time. Sprite, obey your thirst.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen, it's gift season.
Ugh, stressing me out. Why are the people I love so hard to shop for?
Probably because they only make boring gift guides that are totally uninspired. Except for the guide we made.
In partnership with Marshalls, where premium gifts meet incredible value.
It's giving gifts! With categories like best gifts for the mom whose idea of a sensible walking shoe is a stiletto.
Or best gifts for me that were so thoughtful I really shouldn't have.
Check out the guide on marshalls.com.
And gift the good stuff at Marshalls.
Guys, welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here with you. Oh, we're in such a weird mood. It's Friday and we've been cutting up over this story for the whole break. So, I don't even know how to start. I first saw it, where did I first see it? I think it was over at page 6. I'm going to just share with you a couple headlines, okay? New York City celebrates fashion collection made from wool of gay sheep.
What?
Gay sheep, sir. You heard of gay sheep before? Yeah, wool, the wool of gay sheep. So the Washington Post didn't want to be left out of the fun. Was actually a headline. Quote, once likely to be slaughtered, gay sheep find refuge and a bit of glamour. They partnered, so they have this story about how Grindr partnered with Rainbow Wool, and I'm not saying this designer's name, because I'm sorry, anybody that has, if you're a male and you have like the mom haircut from the 80s, no. And they created a fashion show featuring clothing made entirely from the wool of gay sheep. I didn't know there was a market for that. I didn't know that people were walking into stores going, that's great. What is this made of? Oh, wool. Is this gay wool or regular wool?
It's like Portlandia.
It is like Portlandia. Were the chickens happy? Can we go see them? So, and of course, you know, when Grindr's involved, it's going to be all class. They, wow, it's a real story. So they talked about how this designer has no idea, I don't think, how agriculture or livestock management work. And I really kind of feel like he doesn't know about sheep. Yeah, that's the... Oh, no. So he discovered... This is how the story reads. Let me just read it. This designer, he discovered that farms slaughter rams that won't mate with female sheep. In other words, those who say ew to ewes. Or, as the designer put it to the Times, quote, the sheep are killed for being gay. Oh my God. So he got on the phone with Grindr, sure. And then he put together a collection. It's like a bunch of the worst, gayest dad jokes ever. I will survive, kill us all. And it was all just a bunch of like basically YMCA costumes from the village people costumes. And that's what they wore. And it was all knitted and it looks horrible. No man's going to wear an entire romper of knitted material. No man's going to wear a romper. No man wears a romper after the age of like one. That's like baby wear, right? Or sometimes it's, you know, lazy women. So I did not know this was a whole thing of the gay sheep. And they said that they're trying to say that there are some rams, some of the boy sheeps. I'm not making it through this. I'm not making it through this at all. Oh, gosh. Okay. They said that as many as 1 in 12 of the boy sheeps are non-procreative, but they show an interest in other rams, and so they just kill them. They kill the sheep for being gay, okay? So he, I guess, decided to go to these ranches and farms and say, do you have any gay sheep here to get the gay wool? And yeah, that's it. You know,
is that it?
And then he says, you know, there's a lot of male animals in the wild that will mount other males because they're gay. I'm like, wait a minute, hold up. This guy, from what I read, is like born and raised in New York. So he's probably never even seen like any kind of wildlife outside of Central Park. Do you realize that animals, male and female, domesticated and wild, use the mounting as a way to establish dominance? It's not because they're gay or trans. These are weirdo humans that are trying to project human qualities onto animals. Just saying. So I can't even believe this is the dumbest thing I've ever. This man's older than I am and doesn't know this.
I did ask Google AI.
No. What did you ask it?
I asked it how you can tell if a sheep is gay. And so they said around 8 to 10%, which is about the number that you said, of rams are exclusively attracted to other males. Now,
I don't believe that.
How they prove this is that apparently, according to this National Institute of Health and Oregon Health and Science University study, some farmers dismiss the same-sex mounting as like high testosterone or dominance. Like
that's
you
what
were
it
saying.
Is, yeah.
But researchers have
found... Oh, they don't. Are they gay researchers?
Indicate a specific sexual preference.
It's that one ram was looking at the other ram and going, I really like her horns. Bah. Bah.
Like, bah.
So, oh my gosh, I gotta move on. Let me... There's no way to segue from this. I saw this list from this chick on social media, and I thought this was interesting. There was a lot of responses to it. She wrote a list, green flags in a man's apartment. So this means that this is a good, if you're at a man's apartment and you're considering him for a relationship, these things you should look at as a green flag. And she listed 11 things, quote, expensive candles, nice hand soap, actual toilet paper, not a single ply situation, no clothes on the floor, no dishes in the sink, uses face wash, owns a hairbrush, plants that are alive, wine glasses that aren't stolen from a bar, clean sheets that smell like detergent, and more than two things in the fridge, and nothing expired. And one of the comments was, apparently your type is my gay uncle. When I first met my husband, he had nothing in his apartment. It was like his grandmother's inherited furniture that looked like it was never used. He had like an dish and bowl and cup. And then I was most, the thing that really stuck out to me though, he had like, he didn't have a scented candle because he wasn't, he's not gay. Sorry if you guys do. Kane has one, but I gave it to him as a housewarming gift.
That's the
because
reason,
it was comically huge.
That's the only reason I have that's, that yes. one on the list.
Yes. It's because a woman gave it to you. So that's okay. But he had, it's just like the right, you know, the soft soap that's like at a grocery store, right? The soft, it's literally called that, right? Just soft soap. It's clear soap and has a pump. So I guess one time they did a partnership with that PBS cartoon Arthur, the anteater, and they put it on the soft soap, like the image of Arthur, the anteater, on the soft soap. And so the first time I was at his apartment and we were going to a movie and I used his restroom and I went in and I saw the soap on the sink. And it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life, because here was this single dude that had, you know, the Arthur soap on the sink. And I just was dying laughing. I'm like, what man in his 20s? Like nothing. It was just hysterical. So I'm curious what you guys have. Do you have any of these things? Now, Kane, let me start with you because, okay, number one, you have because you have a scented candle.
Yeah, and you know what? It's funny because number two I have because of you. You gave me the gift of that Buff City soap, remember?
Yeah, that's really good soap.
So I have that.
I got to keep the gents, like, you know, we got to keep them topped up with the nice stuff here on the show, right?
I've always had two ply, never single ply.
Yeah, I feel like she doesn't know men. Men, I feel like, are bougier on that kind of stuff than ladies.
Yeah, nobody wants the thin
okay.
stuff.
Okay, yeah, nobody wants that.
I use the stuff I used to paper houses with back in the day.
Right.
I do sometimes have clothes on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Face wash, I don't necessarily sure have a focused not. Face wash.
Yeah, and it can't be the 3-in-1 bonus if it's not 3-in-1.
I do own a hairbrush, but I also own a comb, and it's mainly for my beard. It's right. not for my head.
Right.
I don't have any plants that are alive that I can think of.
Right.
I do have wine glasses that aren't stolen from
nice.
A bar.
There you
which
go.
Which is nice. And I do have clean sheets.
There you go. So that means you're like, yeah, those are good.
And there's probably things in my fridge that are expired.
Yeah, I think everybody has that, especially yeah. if there's more than one person living with you. Everybody has that.
Yeah.
Steve, do you own any kind of scented expensive candles?
I did run through this list. I only have expensive candles because my mom works at Kirkland's. We've talked about this.
This is my favorite story that you guys don't know of on the show. Like, Steve's mom is an OG, man.
Hand soap.
Kirkland's hookup.
Everything else. I'm pretty clean about dishes and clothes, so I'm good about that. But, like, I don't have greenery in my apartment. I think that's a flaw of mine. And I do clean my sheets, but then my fridge is a little weak. So, a little bit half of
your
them.
Your fridge is a little weak. Wait, you think not having a plant, the way you describe that is a flaw of yours?
Women do look for greenery in men's apartments. That is a huge thing, especially in cities. I don't know why.
Really?
That's a thing. Yeah.
Interesting. I don't know how I feel about that. I don't think you need it necessarily.
I don't even put up a Christmas tree anymore. It's like I'm against it.
Wow, interesting. Okay, Juan said he had the good TP, no clothes on the floor. Why does that not surprise me? Juan is very particular from what we know of Juan. Juan's very quiet. He's very pure soul. But I also get the sense that like he brings his protein. He's very, very particular. He owns a hairbrush. And he has wine glasses that aren't stolen from a bar. He's got a lot of these things, the clean sheets and more than two things in the fridge. So, yeah. So, I mean, it sounds like, you know, these are all normal things. I wouldn't judge a dude if a single dude on his own, if he had wine glasses that, you know, were stolen from a bar. I mean, my husband still has beer steins from Mississippi Nights that was on the landing that closed back in the day.
Yeah.
We got some of those. We have to take them with us everywhere. Every time we've moved halfway across the country, and we had to take them with us. But he had like nothing. Everything was like bizarre, super clean to almost where it was like, did you just clean everything with bleach before I got here? And he had the Arthur hand soap. That I will never forget that. The Arthur hand soap. And it was hysterical. But he had nothing in his fridge. Nothing. And but he had clean sheets. And I don't think he had any wine glasses at all.
Also, sometimes I will have dishes in the sink. They won't stay there too long, but that's the temporary hold before the dishwasher gets
right. I just think it's funny that people were going, your type is my gay uncle, or you know, some guys were like, I have no reason to own a brush, or like, men own combs. What is wrong with you? It's hysterical. But it sounds like that. It almost seems like she's describing a single woman's apartment more than.
Yeah.
So let me ask you guys real quick before we finish up the segment. Give me like one or two red flag things in a woman's house or apartment, single lady's abode, that would like you, where you're like, ooh, no.
I don't know. Pull out couch.
A pull out couch.
I don't think people own those anymore.
What I would think, if she has dolls or stuffed animals, that's freaky.
Oh,
if
yeah.
She's a grown person and she's got like dolls or stuffed animals. Remind me of that Friends episode where Ross dated a girl that had stuffed animals in her apartment, and it was weird.
I never looked at that as any red flag. I don't think about that. I think it's just, if you see it in the eyes, you know to stay away.
That's, you know, to stay away.
That's the litmus.
What about you, Steve? What's a red flag for you?
One time I hung out with a girl that had a pet bird in her bathroom, and I never saw her again. That was the weirdest thing ever.
A pet bird in her bathroom?
It was so weird.
In the bathroom?
What kind of bird? Could it talk?
Yeah, well, it didn't like repeat what you said, but it was just, why are you storing it in the bathroom? Like, I'm using your bathroom.
I am dead. Oh my gosh. All right. And then, I knew he was going to say this. One. Juan says a girl having a dirty bathroom is a pretty big red flag.
That's true.
He's right. He's right. And I think dirty cars too. I cannot stand a dirty car. Ugh. My car is like, I have nothing in my car except sunglasses. Even the middle console.
When the holidays start to feel a bit repetitive, reach for a Sprite Winter Spice Cranberry and put your twist on tradition. It's a refreshing way to shake things up this sipping season, and only for a limited time. Sprite. Obey your thirst.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen, it's gift season.
Ugh, stressing me out. Why are the people I love so hard to shop for?
Probably because they only make boring gift guides that are totally uninspired. Except for the guide we made.
In partnership with Marshalls, where premium gifts meet incredible value.
It's giving gifts! With categories like best gifts for the mom whose idea of a sensible walking shoe is a stiletto.
Or best gifts for me that were so thoughtful I really shouldn't have.
Check out the guide on marshalls.com.
And gift the good stuff at Marshalls.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
In the wise words of Florida Sheriff Grady Judd, smoke brisket, not meth. Florida man was walking buck naked in 36 degree weather, claiming he was doing a TikTok challenge. He was arrested walking, quote, buck naked down a Polk County street, according to the sheriff's office. Polk County Sheriff Grady Judd said that when deputies asked him for his name, the man gave a false name and a wrong address. He was charged with disorderly conduct, resisting an officer without violence, and exposure of his sexual organs. That's gross. Let's see. A Florida man captures a giant python, was told to, quote, put it in the trash. No, let's not. He used a snare and an axe to subdue a massive Burmese python. He's coming home from dinner, and it was a 12-foot python stretched across the road.
Whoa.
So this is only in Florida. Can you drive home to gather equipment you need for catching a snake? Because they got snake catching equipment in addition to the machetes. And it's a highly invasive species, so they have to get them out. And he captured, they're allowed to capture and humanly kill it. And then they said, yeah, just throw it in the trash. But that's a lot of meat on that. I'm just asking for, you know, general curiosity, right? You know, like, can't you do some python fritters or something? Stick with us. Third hour on the way. Jim Jordan joins us.
When the holidays start to feel a bit repetitive, reach for a Sprite Winter Spice Cranberry and put your twist on tradition. It's a refreshing way to shake things up this sipping season, and only for a limited time. Sprite, obey your thirst.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen, it's gift season.
Ugh, stressing me out. Why are the people I love so hard to shop for?
Probably because they only make boring gift guides that are totally uninspired. Except for the guide we made.
In partnership with Marshalls, where premium gifts meet incredible value.
It's giving gifts! With categories like best gifts for the mom whose idea of a sensible walking shoe is a stiletto.
Or best gifts for me that were so thoughtful I really shouldn't have.
Check out the guide on Marshalls.com.
And gift the good stuff at Marshalls.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. The former transportation secretary, new dad, Poop Booty Juice. Well, he wasn't a very good Secretary of Transportation. I mean, I really don't know what he knew about transportation other than he was the one-time mayor of South Bend, and he was also the rear vice admiral of the canoe fleet at Camp Wimpy Tonka. And he liked buses, you know, couldn't fill a pothole to save his life, though. And his agency, while he was at Department of Transportation, his agency apparently spent $80 billion on DEI grants, and apparently it delayed air traffic control upgrades. Huh. Now, you know he wants to run for president in 2028. He's very much like he's on board with that. But apparently, yeah, he is eyeing a 2028 presidential run. He told executives that air traffic control upgrades would allow them to fly more planes, and so why would that be in his interest, sources said. They handed out over $80 billion over 4 years. That was half of all of the Department of Transportation's entire budget for a typical fiscal year, according to records. They said, yes, he was definitely pushing an agenda. And he apparently had, quote, little to no interest and took zero action towards air traffic control modernization. Oh, my gosh. The safety system that hasn't been updated since the Carter administration. And he did nothing there. What do you don't you think? OK, this might be a naive question. But if you're going to be the transportation secretary, shouldn't you at least have some sort of working knowledge about how the hell it works? I don't know how Department of Transportation works. I know that they're supposed to handle stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
And he didn't do it. Remember, he was also, how long was he gone? He was like gone 8 weeks after he purchased some babies. He was gone for 8 weeks from maternity leave. The cherry on the top was when they both got into like pajamas and sat in a hospital bed, like they pushed the baby out of their birth canals themselves. And he did not take any questions. He was he was MIA, according to people within the Department of Transportation, if you remember, while we had the supply chain crisis and all that stuff, he was nowhere to be found. So the Booty Juice's spokesperson, Chris Meager, of course his name is Meager, his Meager spokesman, said, no. I mean, if there was some like new flight routes and stuff that was added, what are you talking about? They had an air traffic controller shortage, apparently, and they weren't upgrading systems, and he was doing nothing to help with that, according to all of these insiders that are blowing the whistle on him right now. $80 billion on DEI grants. Isn't the thing with Delta that happened over the weekend, wasn't that said to have done, weren't people complaining about DEI also, you know, where they had a pilot that had to take aggressive maneuvers and all this stuff because they got too close to this other jet? A lot of people have been talking about the air traffic control industry and how they need more actual, like, competent air traffic controllers. So, I mean, apparently he didn't do a whole hell of a lot over at Dot Kane. He didn't do anything. What is the point of having the department if you're not doing anything that has to do with transportation? What does DEI have to do with this?
You know, if I spent $80 billion, even just $80 billion in that department, which, by the way, more was spent, I would have something to show for it. I would say, hey, look at this. Look at this thing I did with $80 billion. What does he have to show for it? Because there's no improvements in the Department of Transportation as it relates to air traffic control. So what'd he do?
Yeah, no, Nick, absolutely nothing. The focus of his, it says under Buttigieg, the focus of the department shifted dramatically. They had 400 DEI-related grants approved, and that was an audit of federal spending between 2021 and 2024. Grants for diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives. They said that programs like Justice 40, which sent about 55% of about $150 billion in infrastructure investments to quote-unquote disadvantaged communities, pursuant to an executive order that Biden signed to, quote, advance equitable outcomes. So that's the Justice 40. Justice 40 initiative, they say the categories of investment are climate change, clean energy, energy efficiency, sustainable and affordable housing, remediation, legacy pollution. And this was Biden's 21.1.2 infrastructure law. $5 billion equity. That was, by the way, that part of that money. Do you guys remember the, oh my gosh, this is one of my the craziest stories. The electric vehicle charging stations. Do you guys remember that? So they only built seven.
Seven.
Oh. By June of 2024. And that was a $5 billion equity effort. They were supposed to build 500,000 electric vehicle charging stations, and only seven were built. Now you might be like, well, what is that? What do you mean equitable? What is the equity effort? The equitable effort. What does that mean? Okay, so I remember we had this story. Let me just bring it back up because it's been almost a year ago. Let me just bring this back up to you. So they had this program where they were supposed to build like 500,000 of these charging stations. They only did seven of them. And the people in DOT, like or in departments in which they fall under the purview of Department of Transportation, like the Federal Highway Administration, et cetera, they were the ones who started talking to the press about it. And the reason being is because of that equitable thing, that little equitable equity word in there that I had mentioned. They were not allowed. Remember, they were had all these requirements. If you were going to build a charging station, like you had to be like minority owned and you had to have X amount of minorities. Like it wasn't enough to be minority owned. Like if you were a black business owner, but you didn't have enough minorities on your staff, then you were not considered. I mean, that's how crazy it was. And you had to have like an interpreter. And they did, oh my gosh, what was it? Block parties. Remember all this stuff? And people were saying, you're not going to be able to get anything built with this, with these type of requirements. You're not going to be able to get anything built. And it actually, it was blamed for holding all of this back. There were all of these secret documents that came out. Daily Caller had a big thing on it. And so did the Free Beacon. And they were reporting on how all these internal documents showed how all of these stupid DEI demands made it impossible to, I mean, I'm surprised they got seven built, honestly. It was described as a, quote, mess. And it said that the DEI requirements were hamstringing Biden's EV agenda. And that was why they were behind the charging station goals. And I'm saying this because this is all part of this $80 billion, apparently, that Buttigieg was just giving away to DEI stuff. That's how bad it was. Like you had to show like neighborhood initiatives. Like if you had held a block party and all that, like what the hell are you doing? You're building an EV state. You're building a damn charging station. Meaningful public involvement. Now, it wasn't enough to do it a one-off. You had to prove that this would occur throughout the project's life cycle. They never actually defined what public involvement was, but they just gave, the reason I said block parties is because they gave that as an example. The Department of Transportation documents. By the way, all this is on the internet. That's the stuff. Yeah. Visual preference surveys, games and contests, and neighborhood block parties. Those were some of the examples that they gave, and that the grant recipient had to provide multilingual staff or interpreters to interact with community members who use language other than English. So it wasn't even that you had to have an interpreter for your employees. You literally had to employ an interpreter to talk to the community. You, the person building the EV charging station. So Kane, if Kane had a company that wanted to, that was bidding for a contract to build a charging station, they'd be like, okay, well, you're half Hispanic. I guess that's half enough. How many people of color do you have in your staff? How many minorities do you have in your staff? And if he didn't have enough minorities on his staff, he wouldn't be considered. If he did, then he had to further show that he had an interpreter on staff, not even to deal with his own employees, but to just talk with the community. He would have to prove that they were doing all these events and stuff for the community as part of the, quote, meaningful public involvement that was never defined, but was only really only showcased by examples of which block parties were mentioned. You would have to do all of that. Sourcing of the materials that you used, you had to make a good faith effort to show that you were getting sourcing for your production from other minority-owned or disadvantaged minority-owned companies or companies in disadvantaged areas. Wrap your head around that. Why do you think we only had seven of these damn things built? This was under Poot Booty Juice. And people in Department of Transportation were like this, like actual other leftists were like, this is the stupidest burp that we have ever seen. They said, you are hamstringing this. Hamstringing it. Meanwhile, Department of Transportation is out there going, well, since Biden took office, the public available charging ports, it's grown wildly. It's grown like over 90%. Not because of you. So this was just a slush fund. DEI is just a slush fund. All it is another way to redistribute money. That's all it is. It's just a way to redistribute money. So going back to this, this is all that Justice 40 stuff. This is all a part of that $80 billion that Poot Booty Juice was in charge of, and that he was spending more towards like DEI and all of this other stuff than actually going and pursuing air traffic controllers, upgrading safety systems, doing all of those things. And what was his, and his excuse was, oh, well, you can walk and chew gum at the same time. Meaning, well, I can do this and I can do these other things. Remember that time? Remember we had that whole thing? But you're not doing the other things is what people are pointing out to you. So, I honestly, all of this stuff, I think it's very interesting that we had all of these incidents that stemmed from the perfect storm of his, if you want to call it, leadership over at Department of Transportation. Good heavens. By the way, we spent $4 billion to refunds for customers because of consumer complaints. Remember he had that whole initiative set up? That wasn't airlines that was paying that. That was taxpayers that were paying that. We were paying that. Unreal.
When the holidays start to feel a bit repetitive, reach for a Sprite Winter Spice Cranberry and put your twist on tradition. It's a refreshing way to shake things up this sipping season, and only for a limited time. Sprite, obey your thirst.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen, it's gift season.
Ugh, stressing me out. Why are the people I love so hard to shop for?
Probably because they only make boring gift guides that are totally uninspired. Except for the guide we made.
In partnership with Marshalls, where premium gifts meet incredible value.
It's giving gifts! With categories like best gifts for the mom whose idea of a sensible walking shoe is a stiletto.
Or best gifts for me that were so thoughtful I really shouldn't have.
Check out the guide on Marshalls.com.
And gift the good stuff at Marshalls.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
This is such a weird headline. So if Gen Z is staring at you, it may be more than just a quirk. It's called the Gen Z stare. It's a blank look, they said, that Gen Zers give to their elders. And it's like another intergenerational. When they say intergenerational, who are fighting? Because I feel like Gen X, we're just like doing our thing and we don't care. So is it like boomers or millennials? Who's fighting with Gen Z? I feel like everybody's fighting. Yeah. So they said that it's called the Gen Z stare. Like it's a blank deadpan look. And they just kind of, have you ever seen? I don't know that I've ever seen that. Have you? What are, I don't know. But they said that that's
RBF.
Like
RBF. We already have it.
Yeah, but that's RBF. That's like not a, just a blank kind of like dumbfounded like kind of stare. I don't know. Golly, that's the latest though with it. Let's see. A woman commandeers the Queen's Inn train for a one-stop joyride, say NYPD. I don't know how you do that. She broke into a whole train, a whole actual train. It was parked and she took it for a joyride and then disappeared. It is their third train hijacking in a year. What? Yeah, so maybe get somebody to watch them trains is all I'm saying. You know what I mean? They said it took place at 4:30 in the morning and it went to one stop. She got off and she fled. They're trying to figure out how she gained access to it. I'm sure you are. Maybe figure that out. So the coroner says that Annabelle Dahl was not present in the hotel room when that dude kicked the bucket. That paranormal investigator. He says that it wasn't. Okay. I mean, maybe. I'm surprised you didn't go, was it the vax? I'm like waiting for you to say that.
Ghost vax.
Could have been. They said it's still an active investigation, but the doll was not in there. That's what the doll wants you to believe. Just want to say. Just, you know. Let's see. Oh, gosh. Doctors played a music bingo game during routine eye surgery, but it apparently resulted in a man's death. According to Channel 9 News, the guy never regained consciousness. It was this was like in 2023 in Colorado. They finally settled it, but apparently they missed critical signs in the patient. Stick with us, more in store.
When the holidays start to feel a bit repetitive, reach for a Sprite Winter Spice Cranberry and put your twist on tradition. It's a refreshing way to shake things up this sipping season and only for a limited time. Sprite, obey your thirst.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen, it's gift season.
Ugh, stressing me out. Why are the people I love so hard to shop for?
Probably because they only make boring gift guides that are totally uninspired. Except for the guide we made.
In partnership with Marshalls, where premium gifts meet incredible value.
It's giving gifts! With categories like best gifts for the mom whose idea of a sensible walking shoe is a stiletto.
Or best gifts for me that were so thoughtful I really shouldn't have.
Check out the guide on Marshalls.com.
And gift the good stuff at Marshalls.
You got the Supreme Court talking about getting rid of the Voting Rights Act. And that's very real.
Yeah.
That may likely happen in just a matter of months. I mean, they're rewriting history, censoring historical facts. It's an unbelievable moment. All this anti-woke stuff is just anti-black.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Period. You know what? That's actually racist because Gavin Newsom is thinking that all wokery is all race. So it's actually inherently racist. He's trying so hard to engender himself to these hosts of this like NBA podcast. Imagine like debasing yourself to the point where you're just, he's like contorting himself verbally into a pretzel. It's weird to watch. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. We're at the bottom of this third hour. It's not. In fact, that's what he's to say that it's just anti-black. What is he hitting on Florida? It seems like he's trying to touch on Florida. Remember, Florida passed standards for their education where they rejected the New York Times writer who had basically made up a whole bunch of stuff about black history in America, and a lot of it had no academic bearing whatsoever. And the Florida, their board of education, which was were white and black educators, were like, that's actually not even academically honest. So we can't, we wouldn't allow it on the right. Why would we allow it on the left? It's just propagandizing at that point. That's not education. So that made sense. And you can disagree with it, but to say that it's due to racism or that they were specifically trying to deny the teaching, which is actually mandated under Florida state law, that they were trying to somehow stop the teaching of or history of Black America or slavery or anything else is just a demonstrable lie. And the people who want to deny that, I mean, shame on them. Just... It's more than just race, the wokery aspect of it. I'm trying to understand the Slam Frank thing. I actually saw this over the weekend, and Steve's got the video to this. Are we going to get hit on YouTube if we play this, by the way? I hope not. So if you don't know what Slam Frank is, first off, it's a musical. And I don't like, I'm immediately predisposed to dislike it, no matter where it comes from, because it's a musical. I'm just not into musicals. I just don't have that suspension of disbelief to think that everybody, except maybe with the exception of the original West Side Story and The Sound of Music, I have a hard time with it. This is supposed to be a musical satire in which Anne Frank is rewritten as the Netflix Wunderkind, a Latinx pansexual girl named Anita. Here's a glimpse of Slam Frank as Kane dies.
Unlimited literary ambitions will be clocking top profits in nonfiction. I'll with vast precision organize every thought and dot all these I's to left finish. Schefter, I've read it, I'll edit and edit until it's better. This the remix to revision, and baby, I'm my own editor. I'm finna rewrite my diary until the publishers are hiring me.
She said finna.
I'ma let out this fire in me. I'm finna rewrap my diary.
This sounds horrible. So it's called Slam Frank, and I don't even know the way that it's, there's a lot of controversy about it. It centers on the rewritten Anne Frank called Anita through the lens of intersectional, multi-ethnic, genderqueer, Afro-Latin hip-hop. Kane. Slam Frank. What do you think of Slam Frank? Would you go see it? I immediately
hate it.
Would I go
see it? No, hell no. I've already seen too much.
I mean, and people are like, it's satire. Okay, then what is it satirizing? If it's satire, what is it? Where is the satire? Like, what is the satirical aspect? What is the thing that it's...
Is it satirizing rap?
That's the thing. No one can answer that question. What is it satirizing then? Anybody?
Got nothing.
Here's Daily Mail's headline. Holocaust victim Anne Frank reimagined as pansexual Latina with non-binary lover and neurodiverse family. What is this even? And she's got one leg, and she's gluten intolerant and colorblind and deaf in one ear. What?
Wins.
I just want, I should do it. There's, I, what is this? What is it? Saturday? I mean, it's almost to the point where it's satirizing itself. It's so cringe. Oh, I've seen enough clips. I don't need to go see it in the theaters because there's not enough liquor in the world. What?
This is how bad it is. Somebody first had the idea, then they wrote it down, convinced others that it was a good idea. Those others agreed to it. Then they executed it as written. And here we are.
It bypassed a lot of stops there in order to get on stage. It began as an Instagram parody. And the guy who created it was joking about making this production to make, quote, Latinx girlies feel included in the Holocaust. Now, I'm like, wait a minute. Is it serious or... Because you can't tell anymore. And then they did like a full... It like inspired like a full production built around it. And that's how it... They said it was a fictional theater troupe trying to decolonize Anne Frank's story. And then it went to this absurdity of characters, etc. Is it satirizing wokery, or is it satirizing non-wokery to the point where it is a joke? Kane, I can't break. Steve, what is your thought?
My head is hurting.
You wouldn't go see this.
No.
As we know on the show, I'm not a hater of musicals like you are, but
I know. I appreciate that about you.
Yeah, no problem. But it's just Anne Frank was a tough person and tough life, and I don't know if we should be making light of that.
I know. See, that's what I'm like. I'm like, Callie, hasn't the girl been through enough? I'm like, come on. I just, I think that this is where people try to get too smart and over their skis, and they create something that does not hit the mark. And someone, I think what they were trying to do was like a Hamilton style thing. And they wanted to incorporate characters that were like discovering marginalized identities, which is a phrase I don't believe in, because I think if in this day and age, you can marginalize yourself, but I don't think that people have the power anymore to marginalize you, unless you're talking about critical race theory marginalizing its non-adherence is the only thing I can think of. But they sold out 34 performances. And either people think it's daring satire or just deeply offensive. Like Reddit is full of they hate it or they hate the people who hate it. That's it. There's no in between. There's no in between here.
How big were these rooms they were selling out? Do we know?
No, we don't know. Like the Book of Mormon, they were saying was set. When I think of satire, I think of Spaceballs. I think of Mel Brooks, who was the genius. I think of Christopher Guest and like Best in Show, right? That movie is one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Spinal Tap. That's what I think of when I think of satire. I don't think of rewriting Anne Frank as like a gender queer, whatever, Latinx, doesn't know what she is type of thing. How does that? That doesn't make it modern. What the hell does that even mean? Someone said they're trying to modernize. How do you modernize Anne Frank? That's so stupid. Shut up. She's a historical figure. She was a real person, and you are de-othering her. Or othering her by stripping her of her identity. That's actually the irony in this whole thing. I mean, were they trying to do unintentional irony? That's a lot. That's a long journey to get to that end with this. Of course, it's like they Netflixed her. Like how, you know, Netflix changes and ruins everything. Oh, my gosh. Like I think they're doing another Pride and Prejudice. Can you stop it? We don't need another damn Pride and Prejudice. We don't need another damn Jane Austen story. Stop. Oh, we don't need any of it. It's all annoying. Othering her, though. That's what this is. So let's not. Let's say we did. And they called it Slam Frank. That was cringy, that clip that we played. Yeah. That's why I hate musicals. I can't sit there in a theater and hear that kind of performance and go, wow, that's really good. I can't. It's just the cheesy, over-the-top delivery. I'm sorry, theater kids. It's just not my jam. Sorry. Just not. So I don't know. They said it sparked controversy. I think the guy did it maybe might be a leftist. Otherwise, they would have burnt the theater down already. Just saying they would have. Can we talk about aliens real quick? Oh, hold up. Okay, so I got a whole... Here we go. So, two things. First off, there's a story out that discusses alien activity near U.S. nuclear sites. They're saying it's non-human intelligence. There's evidence of it, and it's gaining scientific validation. That's a big headline. What does that mean? Like, it's been confirmed, gaining scientific validation. What does that mean? Thousands of objects, that they say, sent by non-human intelligence may have been spying on the world's nuclear tests all the way back to the 1940s. It's a groundbreaking new study just published, providing verified evidence that something or someone was observing our nuclear sites from space long before our first human satellites were ever launched into orbit, Kane. It is a Nordic, some Swedish scientist in Norway. It's a Nordic Institute for Theoretical Physics. And they say there's a clear connection between the tests from 49 and 57 and the increase in the number of transients appearing in the sky. Now, keep that on the table because I have another one. Hold up. Let me pull this other one up. So now, this is the New York Post. UFO tracker shows thousands of eerie underwater objects lurking along U.S. coasts, Kane. And there's video, and it's creepy. It is the largest queryable historic... What's it? It's queer? No, it's the largest queryable historical sighting database for global UFO sightings. It's called Enigma. They said they got reports on over 30,000 unidentified flying objects and anomalous phenomena since they launched in 2022. And it's not just the skies. They said that there's strange objects, Kane, rising from the depths of the sea or plunging into the depths without so much as a splash. Ooh. Could it be aliens?
I think it could be.
Now, there's more. What? Yes. You know that Manhattan-sized space object called 3i Atlas? It's grown a tail, according to Harvard scientists. They're from Harvard, so it's pos legit, right? New images reveal the Manhattan-sized interstellar object known as 3i Atlas has begun to sport a tail, indicating that it could be possibly a maneuvering alien craft. They said after exhibiting signs of an incredibly strange anti-tail since first cropping up in the solar system last July, now 3i Atlas is showing evidence of a true cometary tail, according to Spain's Nordic Optical Telescope in the Canary Island. This finding was released in September. Interesting. Do you think it's an alien spaceship?
Well,
looks like a giant turdsicle.
Some of its attributes don't appear just randomly natural. Right. So, yeah, I'm willing to believe it. But I also think it's something they want us to believe, too.
I think it's pretty cool if aliens are like, let's disguise our ship as a giant space rock. No one will know. Because most everyone's like, oh, it's just a space rock. I'm just saying, if I were an alien, that's what I would do. Then they'd be like, oh, it's a comet. Oh, that's what it is. It's probably some a rock from some asteroid. Ooh, wait a minute. Hold up. Do I have enough time? Do I have enough time? Do I have enough time? Because, we got a potential smod alert. I'll try to find it over break. I was going to put it in this segment, but I think I moved it. But it's a potential smod, just saying. So be wary of the water because there's more than just sharks living in there. The turdsicle in space could be an alien spacecraft. And also, aliens have been watching our nuke sites since the 40s. There you go.
When the holidays start to feel a bit repetitive, reach for a Sprite Winter Spice Cranberry and put your twist on tradition. It's a refreshing way to shake things up this sipping season and only for a limited time. Sprite, obey your thirst.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen, it's gift season.
Ugh, stressing me out. Why are the people I love so hard to shop for?
Probably because they only make boring gift guides that are totally uninspired. Except for the guide we made.
In partnership with Marshalls, where premium gifts meet incredible value.
It's giving gifts! With categories like best gifts for the mom whose idea of a sensible walking shoe is a stiletto.
Or best gifts for me that were so thoughtful I really shouldn't have.
Check out the guide on Marshalls.com.
And gift the good stuff at Marshalls.
So two quick things. First off, here's the headline I told you about SMOD. Scientists spotted a skyscraper-sized asteroid racing through the solar system.
You look excited.
Very excited. It was discovered by Carnegie Science astronomer Scott Shepard. So they're just saying it's skyscraper sized. It's known as 2025 SC79. So it circles the sun once every 128 days. I don't know if it's going to like get next to us, like to hit us, but it's out there. Maybe we'll get lucky. I don't know.
So you're saying there's a chance.
There's a chance. So that's number one. The second thing is that Javier Milei scored a major win on the election Sunday. So it looks like, remember, we had Carol Roth on last week to talk about the gambit the Trump admin was making to kind of box out China. Well, that worked. We'll have more on that tomorrow. In the meantime, today in Stupidity Game.
One, cut 33, please.
We must remember, in a time such as this, we are not the crazy ones, New York City.
Sorry to break the news to you.
But we are not the outlandish ones, New York City.
Yeah, you are. You are, though.
They want us to think we are crazy. We are sane.
Man, when you have to explain it like that.
When you're explaining, you're losing.
Yeah.
That's the rule. You guys know that. It's the rule. Yeah. All right, shame. Moose out front, should have told you. Folks, find us at Substack, Chapter and Verse, and YouTube and Facebook. Like and subscribe. I will be back with you tomorrow.
The holidays are already in full swing. The lights are up, you got good people, good food, and good vibes. And there, to help keep that energy going, is Sprite Winter Spice Cranberry. With that crisp cranberry flavor with a smooth winter spice twist. It's the drink that livens up game nights, gift exchanges, or just catching up in the kitchen with a burst of holiday flavor. It's a seasonal favorite, but it's only here for a limited time. So grab it while you can. Sprite Winter Spice Cranberry. Sprite, obey your thirst.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
You depend on your Bobcat machine to show up in moments when other equipment won't do. It's virtually indestructible, and there's only one way to keep it that way. Bobcat approved parts and service from your local Curtis Lane Bobcat dealer. Let us extend the life of your machine with expert technicians who know compact equipment and the same parts and fluids used on the Bobcat assembly line. Set up your service appointment with your local Curtis Lane Bobcat dealer today by calling or visiting your nearest location.